Hey friends, welcome back to the Amber May Show. I'm so glad you were here today. I have a great show for you today. I have Pastor Greg Locke joining me today, and he's talking about his new movie, Come Out in Jesus' Name, and it's a movie about deliverance from oppression or possession of demonic forces. So it's going to be a really amazing show today, so I hope you stay tuned for that. Hey, please like, share, and subscribe this far and wide. That would be so amazing if you could do that. And if you believe in what I'm doing, consider becoming an angel investor. You can go to the website at theambermayshow.com and hit the donate button and donate whatever you feel like you could donate to the program. Or the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.locals.com and becoming a $5 monthly subscriber there. That helps support the program. Always follow me on Telegram. I always add more content to Telegram, and you can find me at The Amber May Show on Telegram. I'm on True Social Amber May or Frank Social Amber May, and I just joined Clout Hub, and you can find The Amber May Show there on Clout Hub. So follow me on all those platforms. That'd be great. So again, like, share, and subscribe. So coming up next on this episode, I have Pastor Greg Locke joining us about his new movie, Come Out in Jesus' Name. I told you guys, I have the one and only Pastor Greg Locke joining me today, and we are going to dive in and find out more about this new movie that's coming out. So welcome to the show, Pastor Locke.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Hey, so I want to get to know a little bit more about the movie, and towards the end of the broadcast, I'm going to play the trailer so everyone can get an idea more about the movie. But so I'd like to know a little bit about the movie, and then how did this whole movie thing come to being?
Well, it's in defense of deliverance ministry, which is kind of the ancient ministry of Jesus. You know, people are afraid of demons, and rightly so. It's an uncomfortable subject, but I tell people we're not talking about poodles. We're talking about evil spirits, and we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. And so it's interesting that pastors and church-going individuals understand spiritual warfare from kind of a 50,000-foot flyover view. But nobody wants to have boots on the ground and actually combat the enemy the way that we're supposed to. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so this movie is kind of twofold. First of all, it kind of takes you on a journey from my salvation, my boyhood, when I was saved at a children's home in 1992, 30 years ago. I lived there for a number of years. And then how I was a strict cessationist, meaning by that, I didn't believe in any gifts, any signs, any miracles, healings, none of that. I was taught very baptistically against that, and I don't demonize my past. You know, they gave me a great militancy to want to preach the Bible and love people, but I was taught against miracles and against wonders and signs, and we shouldn't look after those things. And so God began to do some of those things in our church after I had preached against them for many, many, many years, and we began to see deliverance and healing, and, you know, the fivefold ministry just began to break out in our church. And so I said, you know what? I want people to see my journey, but I want people to see the validity of deliverance ministry. It doesn't have to be scary. It doesn't have to be hokey. It doesn't have to be Hollywood, CGI. I want to show people actually in the torment of an evil spirit, and because there's power in the name of Jesus, I want to see them set free by that power. And so it's really a journey of our church and how we have been unbelievably immersed in deliverance ministry and have really become kind of the global tip of the spear for tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people that are coming here, that are calling us, that are seeking deliverance. And even tonight, after this broadcast, I'll be doing 2 full days of deliverance training with a couple of hundred pastors that are coming in just to learn about how to pray and perform deliverance. And so that's really the impetus behind the movie and why it got started. I wanted people to understand this is a third of the ministry of Jesus. If Jesus didn't ignore it, the church can't ignore it. People need freedom in the name of Jesus.
So how does one know when they need to help someone get delivered from an evil spirit? Because it's not something I think that's common knowledge, even within the church.
Right. It's not common knowledge. I mean, if people have opened themselves up to occult doors, I don't care if they were 8 or 9 or 10 years old, if they mess with a Ouija board, they've got some demonic activity going on in their life. Tarot cards, you know, people messing these days with, you know, new age healing crystals, goddess worship, angel worship, yoga, a lot of different ways that people open themselves up to the occult. Some people have what we call in Luke 13, a spirit of infirmity, a spirit of sickness or disease, because maybe there's a generational curse. You know, we've been taught scientifically and religiously to say, well, you know, I just inherited that from my father. Yeah, but the Bible doesn't call it an inheritance, calls it a generational curse. God will visit the iniquity of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. And until we stand up and break off those generational curses, then we still are susceptible and have open doors to demonic activity. The Bible talks about a spirit of heaviness. You know, you ask the question, how can a person know if they need some type of deliverance? Well, we call it oppression. We call it depression. We call it PTSD. We call it anxiety. God calls it one thing, Isaiah 61:4, a spirit of heaviness. Sometimes we have worry, dread, doubt. You know what God calls that? 2 Timothy, a spirit of fear. It's interesting. He never calls it an atmosphere. He never calls it an attitude or a surrounding. He calls it a person, because a spirit is a person without a body. So if we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against evil principalities and demonic entities and the attacks from Satan, then if we recognize it as a person, then we fight it differently. If we think that fear is just an attitude, then I'm going to be okay, sirrah, sirrah. But if we realize that fear is demonic, fear is a person, fear is an attack that gives you these illogical fears and you're afraid of things that you normally would not be afraid of, then we pray for somebody to go through deliverance. And we say, spirit of fear, come out in the name of Jesus. And guess what? It comes out every single time. It's so simple, it should never work. But it always works because it's so simple. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. And you know, you hit something that I never really thought of before. Because fear is an emotion that we go through, but to live in fear constantly, it's different. Yes. When you quote the Bible like that, I was like, wow, you know, I never thought about it like that. That's a fascinating take on that. So because of your background, and maybe, you know, in the beginning of your Christian faith, you didn't do all this stuff. How did you learn to deliver people? When did that come about? How was that process?
Yeah, it's interesting because you say, you know, when I quote the Bible, it changes the game, and it does, because I've always been a very preacher, I guess, that's interested in being faithful to the text, for lack of better terminology. I love verse by verse, word by word, expository preaching. And so what happened was I would preach through the denominational lens, you know, of being a Baptist or whatever the case may be. And I would come across certain things and I'd be like, wow, that doesn't fit the narrative that I was taught in Bible college. You know, that doesn't fit what I've been taught to preach. I've not been trained that way. And so I would start preaching the way the Bible actually says it. And I tell people jokingly, the Bible will mess up a lot of what we call good preaching, right? And I began to preach these sermons and I looked in the text and I'm like, I can't defend what I grew up. I can't defend the narrative religiously and denominationally because it's clearly opposite of what the Bible teaches. So the more I got into the Bible, the more immersed I got into the context, the more I began to see that this is a third of what Jesus did. Matter of fact, outside of preaching the gospel, it's the number one thing Jesus did. People are like, well, you know, we ought to be like Jesus. Okay, what would Jesus do? Well, if you want to know what would Jesus do, read a Bible and see what Jesus did. And a third of his ministry was casting out evil spirits. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and really just Matthew, Mark, Luke, because John only mentions it two times, there are 286 verses where Jesus talks about demons and casts out evil spirits. How do we ignore that, right? We tell people, oh, you got to preach like Jesus, you got to live like Jesus, you got to be like Jesus, just don't do what Jesus did because it might make people uncomfortable. Well, of course it's going to make people uncomfortable. And so as we began to preach, what I found is I was able to turn the ship, if you will, because we have a large church, and we had a large church when we began to turn it. What I did was I just said, you know what, we're going to mash the gas. I'm going to preach every single verse in the Bible, in the New Testament, when Jesus dealt with demons. And let's see what happens. So I started preaching it. I started changing. The church started changing. And people started manifesting demons, right? And evil spirits started coming out of people. And we started praying for deliverance. And then tens of thousands of people started to converge on our campus, you know, through the weeks and days and months and now a little bit over a year, because people began to say, wow, maybe I don't need more medication. Maybe I need a deliverance prayer. Maybe I don't need to go to the psych ward. Maybe I need a fearing spirit to come out of me, a tormenting spirit to come out of me. So I began to read people like Derek Prince you know, way back in the day, this guy that was a Greek professor at Oxford University, and he started talking about demons. And this guy was smart. He knew his stuff. He was not changing the context of the Bible in any way. And so I began to study behind him and Don Basham and Win Worley and these men that have gone to heaven already, but they left us this legacy of deliverance ministry. And for some reason, from about maybe about 1975 to right now, in the last year or two, deliverance has been shrouded in secrecy. You know, nobody wants to do it in public. It's okay to cast out demons, but do it in the choir room. You know, do it in a green room. Jesus never took a person out of the service to do deliverance. It would happen in the synagogue, and Jesus would allow them to flare up. He would allow the demons. The Bible says five times they came out with a loud voice. Jesus never said, now simmer down, turn the live stream off. This is embarrassing. No, Jesus did. Came off the platform, cast the demon out right in front of everybody, because what it did is it showed two kingdoms colliding right before everybody's eyes. So here's what convinced me of deliverance ministry. When I read Mark chapter 1, and this guy flares up in a church service, in a synagogue, here's what Jesus did. Jesus left the man in the church service, but cast the demon out of the man. The average church would leave the demon in the man and kick the man out of the church service. And I'm like, this is so opposite of how Jesus responded to demonic activity. He wasn't afraid of it. He dealt with it head on with the power of the gospel. So I began to read. We began to watch YouTube videos. We began to get every study manual we could. And most of our learning has been what I call theological experience. We've just had to fall down the steps a few times. But once this many people start coming to you, look, you cast out one demon publicly and people find out about it, and they will find you. You will never again walk for a crowd. We already had a big crowd before deliverance ministry, but they're coming by the hundreds, by the thousands. They are always at our church for deliverance ministry, because once they found out that you believe you've got authority in the name of Jesus to cast out evil spirits, they will find you. They will find you.
Well, your movie interests me, because when I was 8 years old, so my dad was a pastor. He's with the Lord now, but I grew up in church and I grew up with a minister for a dad. And I always knew that fortune telling and that kind of stuff was witchcraft and not to deal with it. But when I was a little girl, 8 years old, I went to my friend's birthday party. We had a slumber party, and her uncle came and brought his girlfriend, and she came into our bedroom where we were all at and said, hey, would you guys like me to read your fortune? I can read a fortune just from a deck of playing cards. And all the little girls said yes, but I knew that was not the right thing to do. So I sat back, and all of a sudden my skin was on fire. I couldn't breathe. And I saw this really dark shadow hovering over my friends, smiling and grinning. And I was so scared because I've never experienced anything like that. And I went out of the room and I could breathe and I wasn't on fire anymore. And I asked the Lord to give me words. What do I say? What do I do? And he gave me the words to utter. And when I walked back into the room, that spirit was gone. And I just started talking about Jesus, and that lady couldn't stand me. She had to leave the room. So I've had some supernatural experiences with the demonic realm. And it taught me at 8 years old, I don't have to be afraid of that, because the who is in me is greater than who is in the world. And God could tell me through the Holy Spirit the words to say. And he say, if you lack knowledge, ask and I will give it to you abundantly. So that's what I did. And from that experience, I learned how to function as an adult.
Okay, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I want to thank each and every one of you for your support by bringing you the pillow that started it all. Get my standard My Pillow, regularly $49.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Just like all of you, I've tried every pillow out there, and none of them worked. That's why I invented My Pillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs, helps keep your neck aligned, and it holds its shape all night long, regardless of your sleep position. So you get the best sleep of your life. Because it works, we've sold over 70 million MyPillows, and now I'm bringing them to you for the lowest price ever. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code, and you'll get my standard MyPillow for only $19.98. For a more custom fit, my Premium Queen for only $27.98. Or my Premium King, only $34.98. My 60-day money-back guarantees it'll be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own.
Hello, this is Tanya Joy from Beauty for Ashes, and you are watching The Amber May Show.
These days, it's hard finding doctors you can trust, but look no further because now you can go to Dr. Meehan at MeehanMD.com for all your future healthcare needs. And while you're there, you might want to check out his supplements. He has some amazing supplements. For instance, the Optimal Defense that is perfect for the cold and flu time of year. That helps support your immune system. And if you have like reoccurring issues that come up with your health, that might be a great supplement for you to try. You may also want to check out Immune Plus. It has herbs like echinacea and elderberry. And Immune Plus also contains medicinal mushrooms to help support the body's natural defenses. So if you're looking for a doctor you can trust, set up a telemed appointment with Dr. Meehan at MeehanMD.com. Use promo code AMBER while you're there. Again, Meehan is spelled MeehanMD.com for all your telemed and supplemental needs. And remember, use promo code AMBER at checkout.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
Yeah.
Praise God, I don't have to do it on a regular basis, but when I was a teenager, he was really coming after me. Like, yeah. I was actually, let me tell you another story. I was 4 years old, so I told you my dad's a minister, but I always think that Satan must have known there was some kind of calling on my life. I have a feeling, because he came at me at four, he came at me at eight, he came at me in dreams, and I would battle. And I only learned how to battle because of that experience when I was 8 years old. Mm-hmm. So I woke up hearing a noise in the living room, and here was this dark shadow smiling, holding a toy, asking me to come to him. And mm-hmm. I was so afraid. I went straight to my parents' room, and then he was gone. And so I don't know if he knew there was a calling on my life, but that's the only thing I can think of. So when your movie comes out, it really fascinates me because I've dealt with this at a young age, and I haven't shared that story very much, but that's why your movie fascinates me, because I think saints need to be equipped when things come up.
Well, people are just ignorant, and they're ignorant willfully because they don't want to talk about the issue. You know, you say, well, you know, perhaps it knew what my calling was. There's no perhaps about it. It's 1,000% because that's called a familiar spirit. It's mentioned 22 times in the Bible, 17 times just in the book of Deuteronomy. And what a familiar spirit is a spirit that follows your family lineage through generational curses. And so it's amazing that pastors will preach on generational blessings and then deny generational cursings. You can't have one without the other. It's like God and the devil, right? You got to have both of them in connection to each other. And so a familiar spirit does know and knew your dad was a pastor. It's a monitoring spirit. It knows what you wear, what you eat, where you go to work. That's why they can get into people's marriages and mess up their marriage, mess up their kids, give their kids nightmares. And people literally have familiar spirits that monitor their families. They know where they go on vacation. They know everything about it. We have this idea that it's Casper the Friendly Ghost floating around the house. But at the end of the day, these monitoring spirits have monitored families for many, many years, and it is a well-organized kingdom. When Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, you know, Revelation 12, what we find is all he did was rob the military command and the organizational structure that God already had. So to think that the devil is unorganized is ridiculous theology. He is the most organized being on the planet just under God. He has a military rank and file system. So he has demons after your family, after my family. That's what a principality is. It's a governing demon. They're family demons. There's indwelling demons. They're everywhere. And people want to deny the reality of evil spirits. But if you study a Bible, you will find out there are far more evil spirits on this planet than there are humans that have ever been on this planet. So there's plenty to go around. And the same ones Jesus cast out 2,000 years ago are the same ones that are still on this earth. Demons are in hell, okay? They will go to hell one day with their commander-in-chief, Revelation 12, 11 through 15 says, but they're not there now. They're roaming this earth, and Matthew 12 says when they come out of somebody, they say, I will return to my house. They consider bodies houses. That's the difference, and I could get theologically preaching for a long time.
No, that's what I love about it.
But that's the theological difference between demons and angels. Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says that angels are sent as ministering spirits to those of us who are the heirs of righteousness. So God has righteous spirits that are the polar opposite of ungodly spirits. That's why when it says God's not giving you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So there's a spirit of love. There's a spirit of power. There's a spirit of a sound mind. They're angelic beings. But here's the difference. Demons inhabit bodies to corrupt the DNA structure of God's creation. Angels have never, in the history of humanity, angels have never inhabited bodies. They can take on the form of bodies so they can serve us, so they can minister to us. So angels do not inhabit, possess, or oppress, or afflict people, but demons do. And I'm telling you, we have got to call demons for what they are. Quit all this patty cake and nonsense, trying to play it down and make it easy. No. Pastors need to stand in the pulpit and let people know our churches are full of witchcraft and people need to be delivered from it.
Let me ask you this, because my dad, he would have people ask him to come to pray over their house because they just, stuff was not going on right. They just knew there was some demonic activity going on, right? And my dad got the sense like he could pick up an item and he knew that that item was one of the doors that would open to allow the evil spirits in, and he would get rid of that. And sometimes he would hear like a hissing sound after he's done a prayer or something like that. Have you ever experienced anything like that?
Every week. Yeah, your dad was exactly right. Yeah, you can always know open doors. You know, people like to preach on cute little motivational things. You know, we've heard since our flannograph days in Sunday school, you know, oh, you know, Achan, you know, he took the accursed items and God killed him. Well, you know why? Because God said in the previous chapter, don't touch that which is accursed, or you and your family will be cursed itself. So when you take on something that has a curse, your whole family's under one. Your whole family's under one. And so, you know, if there's something in your house that has occult involvement, there's no doubt it's an open portal. It's an open door. And so there's times, for example, just personally, my wife, when we really started to understand deliverance ministry, even before we were bold enough to get involved in it, we were still a little embarrassed by it, right? My wife found out that her grandfather was a 33rd degree Mason, which would make him a Shriner, and he had a Shriner's hat. And I'm telling you, people can say anything that they want to, but secret societies are doorways to the occult. Absolutely. And she took that hat and she set that hat on fire. I asked her to. I was out of town. She sent me a video. She set that Shriner's hat on fire. It took 3 hours to burn and it hissed at her the entire time that it burned. A hat, you know, a hat took 3 hours. A velvet hat took 3 hours to burn. It took probably 35 minutes to get it to set on fire. And then it hissed at her the entire time. And so there are things that are accursed. If people have objects, for example, from maybe third world countries where voodoo is prevalent, you bring that into your house. People go overseas all the time and they bring back these little statues to their house and they wonder why their marriage starts falling apart, why they start having nightmares, why they get sick all the time. Because you brought something that was cursed into your home. It's got a voodoo curse on it. Somebody put it there on purpose and you open your house to demons. But here's the good news. You can cast a demon out of a house just as powerfully and effectively as you can cast them out of somebody's body. Demons cannot stay around when you mention the name of Jesus. That's why when you went back in that room and you started talking about Jesus, that spirit had to get out. Because Jesus and demons are not going to operate in the same area when that power of the Lord Jesus Christ is unleashed.
It's true. It's true. And it's just like, so when I would hear these stories of my dad, I was like, wow, that's incredible. Part of me wish I was with him when I could have witnessed what he was doing. But I know just myself, I've battled it. And I asked God, like, after I was a teenager and I almost got an accident because I had the whole night I was battling, spells were being put upon me. I don't know why. I was a teenage girl, you know, but this is what was happening in my dream. And I was battling the whole night. I couldn't sleep. And after that night, I asked the Lord, please, don't let me see any of that stuff ever again. I was so tired of it since I was a child dealing with it. So to this day, thank praise the Lord, I haven't had to see it because I've been battling it for so long as a child. But it's a real thing. And what you're doing is so powerful. And I think we need a more deliverance, because you know what the Lord told me? I used to work at a radio station a long time ago, about 10, 11 years ago. And the Lord told me, Daniel chapter 10, the prince of Persia is over your nation. When he was talking about how Daniel asked for an answer, and immediately the Lord dispatched an angel, just like you said, ministering angels. But then the Lord highlighted the prince of Persia, and he told me the prince of Persia is over your nation. That's a strong demonic force, because if it took 10 days for an angel to fight this prince of Persia, and then God had to dispatch the highest angel he has, Michael the archangel, that means this prince of Persia is a very, very strong demon. And that's right. Over our nation. But I feel like because I met you and I met other people, God has put us together. And I think for such a time as this, so we can end the reign of the Prince of Persia over our nation. What do you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's not just an individual deal. It can be a national deal. It can be a global deal. There are principalities that are far more superior than anything we could ever imagine. And that's why, even in deliverance ministry, people can laugh, but we pray, Lord, send your angels to help us at this very moment, because they war for us in the spirit. If we could cut into the veil, which every day to me is getting thinner and thinner and thinner, if we could really cut into the veil and see into the spiritual realm right now, we would be shocked just on this broadcast, the amount of angels and demons that are fighting for the souls of humanity right this very moment. It's all around us. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere that we go. And yet we just want to ignore it. Here's how I kind of illustrate it. I'm going to talk about this tonight in our deliverance training. There's a little known fact about me. I'm not a real vacation-y type guy. I like the mountains, but my wife loves the beach, right? She adores the beach. So where we go every year, we go to the beach with all the kids. And we got six of them, and so it's like taking a semi-truck of people to the beach. Well, I figured out a few years ago that I love snorkeling, and I don't even like the water, right? I don't even like the water. I take my bath every day, and I'm in, right? I don't care. Not about swimming. But I figured out I love the snorkel. It is the crazy. I can stay underwater for hours and I enjoy it. But here's the interesting thing. You can wade out into the water of the ocean and you can enjoy it. You got the breeze breathing on you. Every now and again, you'll see a little shadow lurking around. But until you put those goggles on and you put that snorkel in your mouth and you go underwater, you know what happens when you go underwater? You see shells. You see the sand different. You see the waves different. You start seeing colors. I mean, a multiplicity of colors that you can never imagine. That's like the spiritual realm. If you don't put on the goggles of the Word of God, you're not going to be able to see what's going on. When you put on the Bible, everything changes. You start seeing the darkness, and you start seeing the colors. You start seeing the creatures that have been lurking around you the whole time. You just never paid attention to it because you were just wading in the water. But you put on the goggles of the Word of God, and you'll start seeing the kingdom of righteousness and the kingdom of darkness in a whole new light. And it is time that the church quits patty caking, messing around, being lukewarm, and they put on the goggles, the lens of scripture, and they see we are called to fight against darkness. And if we don't, it is disobedience to the Word of God.
So if someone wants to learn from you how they can deliver people or get into the deliverance ministry, is this teaching going to be streamed online somewhere? Or how can they learn from
it? Is it only because we have such a barrage of people that come? And so every couple of months, every few months, every quarter or whatever, I'll bring in, you know, 150, 160 people and just kind of do it. Because we have our deliverance conferences, but they're so big, it's hard to touch people, right? You're talking about 3,000 or 4,000 people that are there, and we're doing mass deliverance. And we are teaching, but I'd like to be a lot more hands-on. And so, as you can tell, I got a lot to say. And so I'm not rushed in a sermon when I'm teaching people. So like tonight, I'll take one session and I'll teach 2.5 hours, you know, nonstop, just continually about deliverance and then illustrate it in various ways. But a couple of things that people can do. Number one, seriously, they should watch the movie. They should go to comeoutinjesusname.com, figure out where it's playing in their area, watch it, take someone. And the reason I say take someone, even if you're struggling with something yourself, an addiction, whatever, because on March the 13th, one of the little known facts is this is a Fathom event. So Fathom is putting out for us, they're distributing Come Out in Jesus' Name to so many hundreds and hundreds of theaters. And on that night, on March 13th, when the credits roll and it goes dark, I'll be in our tent by myself, and I'll be pumped in live to every theater in America that just showed the movie. And I will do a live 30-minute mass deliverance prayer for everybody in all of the theaters. And so we'll be coming against witchcraft. We'll be coming against the spirit of pharmakia, the spirit of fear, the spirit of shame, spirit of abuse, whatever. And so get to this movie, because not only will it help you get some freedom, if nothing else, it'll get you stirred up so that you know you need some freedom. And there are other places around the country, Henry Schaefer, and Alexander Pagani, Isaiah Saldivar, people that do training. But the best thing they can do is get to our church and go through one of our deliverance services. We do it every Sunday night. Hundreds of people show up every single Sunday night just for that one service. And it'll let them know what they're dealing with. Because it's not going to do any good to learn deliverance if you've never experienced deliverance, right? You got to go through freedom so you can offer freedom, if that makes sense.
And you stream that? I assume you stream that, because I found you through your streaming.
Well,
but I don't know.
We stream all of our services, but we don't stream the Mass Deliverance service.
Okay, so that one we don't stream.
The same flow, the same format. We just don't want to, you know, embarrass people. Like even in the movie, you know, we try to be discreet, try to blur out places.
I totally get that. Yeah.
We get pretty wild, wild west. I mean, you start calling witchcraft out of somebody, or you start calling curses off of people, and I mean, they can, woo, they can flare up. That's why the Bible says five times they came out with a loud voice. Demons aren't quiet. They'll come out. They're mad.
No kidding. So what is a story that you could share with your deliverance ministry that has happened to you?
Well, I mean, literally every single day we could write like new chapters of the book because it just keeps coming and coming. We see freedom all the time, every day, especially on Sunday nights. This past Sunday night was super wild, wild west. Sometimes maybe it takes a little longer to get things going. But this past week, it got stirred up in the Sunday morning service, which is not even a deliverance related service. I mean, people think all I ever do is preach on deliverance. And rarely do I ever preach on deliverance. It just breaks out. We just happen to emphasize it on Sunday evenings. And so, like, even this past Sunday morning, during the preaching, during the worship, people couldn't even stop. I mean, we have such an anointed campus. And I say, you know, to God be the glory for what he's doing. People literally walk in our tent, and they could feel it. And it just, I agitate devils, right? My wife agitates devils. Our team agitates devils. And that's our responsibility. It is our job. Make the devil mad. The problem is, evil spirits are more comfortable in most churches than the Holy Spirit. So they never manifest. So people never know they even have the problem because pastors don't have enough authority to make a demon come out. And so I get preachers all the time, well, you know, that kind of stuff never happens in my church. I think that's out of order. And I'm like, I'm sorry, you don't have enough anointing from the Holy Spirit to make a demon get mad. But if you come to our church, I promise you, demons just start coming out. They get mad. They flare up. So it happens all the time. So, you know, even in the movie, we talk about, you know, several instances and stories. But to just pick one case would interestingly be difficult because every day, look, I promise you today in deliverance training, we will end up having to pray deliverance on somebody. Because even people that come for training, you start talking about demons and it agitates them. People start getting fidgety. People start shaking. I can read people's body language and I know what they're going through almost immediately. Because the Bible says in the book of James, the devils believe, and what do? They tremble. It's not the person shaking. Somebody will come to our church and they'll be like, wow, I'm so nervous. I don't know why I'm so nervous. I'm like, I know exactly why you're so nervous. Because that evil spirit is trembling because it's in the presence of the name of Jesus Christ. I was doing a podcast just the other day, one just like this. I could see her. She could see me. The night before, she had watched the e-screener for the movie, right? She had seen it with the little logo, watermark, and all that kind of stuff. And so when we got on the broadcast, the first words out of her mouth, she said, I don't even know why, but I'm just so nervous. I watched the e-screener, and in my mind, I thought, I know exactly why you're nervous. She's about to manifest live on TV while I'm talking to you because that spirit was agitated through watching the movie. So again, you can't make this stuff up. There's no rhyme or reason to it. It's not manipulation. It's not a methodology. It's a message. And the message is the title of the movie, Come Out in Jesus' Name. And guess what? Demons flee at the name of Jesus.
So some people might not realize that they're oppressed or possessed by a demon?
Absolutely. And you know, possession is really an unfortunate word because it gives the idea of ownership. You can have a nice house that you own, but you may still have rats and roaches, right? It don't mean the rats and roaches own your house. Your name's still on the deed. You know, demons do not live in our spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in our spirit. But demons can live in our flesh. Even the Apostle Paul said he had a messenger of Satan. The word messenger is the Greek word angelos, which means an angel. An angel of Satan would be a demon. He said, I've got a messenger of Satan in my flesh that buffets me with an infirmity spirit, a spirit of infirmity. Even Paul said that demons were afflicting his flesh, giving him what we think theologically was poor eyesight. And so Luke 13, the Bible says, here's a daughter of faith, a daughter of Abraham. And yet for 18 years, she's been bound by Satan with a spirit of infirmity. Jesus called deliverance the children's bread. So yes, Christians can be influenced, oppressed, and afflicted by demons. But being afflicted by a demon does not mean that you're controlled by a demon. You're controlled by the Holy Spirit. You're bought by the blood of Christ. But an unsubmitted area of your life can be at the stronghold of a demonic influence, and it can cause you to do things or feel things that you would not normally do or feel.
Wow. I'm just so grateful for your ministry, Pastor Greg Locke. I told you the story before when I met you in Branson, Missouri. Yeah. Meeting you was at the most critical time in my life. I'll just recap it because I know you got to go. I lost my best friend to breast cancer. My dad was dying from liver failure. We had, you know, the whole COVID thing, and we were losing our rights like crazy. We just lost the election in Arizona. And here you are in Washington, D.C., and the Lord just put you on my phone. I didn't even know you existed, but God knew I was going to meet you in my future when I didn't know I was going to meet you in my future. And your message that God gave you really, really helped me during some of the darkest times of my life. And I have followed your ministry, and I've heard your preaching, and I love your preaching. Because you're the type of preacher like my dad. He was like line by line, verse by verse, and expanded. And I could see the love you have for the Lord, just like I had, like my dad. You know, like your ministry reminded me a lot of my father. And so you helped me at such a critical time. And so I am so honored that you came on my show, because I want to introduce you to other people so that they can get the message that the Lord has for them through your messages.
Absolutely. Well, I'm honored to be on the show. I'll come back anytime we can work it out. You need to come see us sometime at the tent. Come see what the Lord's
doing. I would love that. So how, one more time, how can people find your movie? Is it a one day only?
Yes and no. It's comeoutinjesusname.com, and they can find where it's going to be playing. And what it looks like is there's been such a demand. We've sold out, thank God, a lot of theaters. And so rather than adding another day after that because of the live event, what they'll do is the 13th is the big live event that we will do after the movie. And then, Lord willing, it looks like they'll pull the live event, and then the next week they're going to re-release it in theaters for as long as that we can sell tickets and sell boxes. So people will get a chance to see it. We're not sure where it's going to go streaming-wise after that. I think you have a 30 or 60-day window where you can't really do anything with it. But we'll see. It's going to be interesting. But if they go to comeoutinjesusname.com, they can do that. If they go to Global Vision BC, like Bible Church, globalvisionbc.com, they can watch our stream and know our service times and understand more about, you know, preparing and getting there for a deliverance service.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for popping on the show today and telling us more. Your new movie coming up. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
In the New Testament, is it verifiable that Christians can be attacked and oppressed by demons?
Come on. God used controversy.
I'm on the list.
He used CNN. He used the media. He used all of it to grow a massive size platform. Controversy built our platform.
Two genders.
Never about the controversy. It was never about the politics. I thought it was. I thought it was about Trump. I thought it was about COVID. But God built our platform for deliverance.
We are headed more into seeing prophecy fulfilled before our very eyes.
There's a kingdom of righteousness and there's a kingdom of darkness.
Something in our being craves something supernatural.
If you're addicted to something, you have company.
And he said in the last days, the church will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. They will begin to listen to demonic doctrines.
He doesn't mind you going to church. He doesn't mind you praising as long as you don't change.
There's a great awakening that is coming.
The kingdom of God is not about talk.
Jesus is king.
It's about power and demonstration.
The state of the church in the United States, I believe, needs a reawakening of deliverance because of the evil that's going around.
Christians can be under the influence of satanic oppression. 100% they can. You see, redemption and salvation is for the lost. Deliverance is to set the captives free.
The word of God says, these signs shall follow them that believe. The plan of the enemy is to keep the church quiet.
Deliverance is for the people of God. Deliverance is for the church. I'm here to call this culture to Jesus Christ and cast out demons. Because these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils.
Hey there, I'm Darren.
And I'm Randy.
We're from Patriots with Grit, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
Check it out.
Hey, everyone. So I wanted to introduce you to this company that I just happened to find. And you know what? Honestly, I don't even think it just happened anymore. I think God just does some incredible things. And so I came across this company called Hero Soap. It's hard to see with my background, sorry. But it's called Hero Soap, and I found them from a fellow podcaster. I was on her show. She's going to be on mine, the Red Patriot Show. And I was like, what is this Hero Soap? Because I like heroes. And as I look into this hero company, I realize they're local. Not only they're local to Arizona, and I thought that was so cool. But not only that I thought was so cool, they make their products here in the USA, and I think it's just so hard to find anymore. And I wanted to support a company that makes products in the USA, especially if they make products in my home state. And not only that, I especially wanted to support a company that supports military and first responders. So joining me today is veteran Lucas Rowe. He is one of the owners of Hero Soap. And so I want to thank you, Lucas, for coming on the program today.
Yeah, thank you, Amber, for having me on. and thanks for the kind words. It's we do run into it a lot where we don't find a whole lot of homegrown companies anymore at this point. So thanks for recognizing that and highlighting us and giving us a little bit of a platform to get on.
Yeah, I was excited actually when I clicked on that link. I was just like, God is so good. So a couple things that drew me to you. Okay, first, number one, like I said, you're local. Number two, you support a military and first responders. And then I love supporting veterans. So thank you for serving our country. But I have been big on getting toxins out of my house for some time. And I have a link to some essential oils. So if anyone's interested, the links is always in the description. And so I've been cutting that out of my house for a long time. And so that's the other thing I was drawn. So tell me about your product a little bit. We just got these. I love them. My husband's like, yeah, we can start switching all of our soaps over to this company. It smells amazing. Yeah. They smell amazing. My son got the first, he got to shower with daddy soap last night. He felt like a big boy. He felt so big.
Oh, that's awesome.
So how did this all come about? How did you get started with this? And tell us about your product.
Yeah. So, we're just two guys working a really boring job at the time and we were tired of it. And as you know, here in Phoenix, we have homeless veterans all over the place under all the viaducts. And I'm not one to really believe that our government is about to do anything to help any of us out. So saw this as an opportunity to kind of use activism through capitalism. And yes, it's about the soap. At the end of the day, though, I'd say it's more so about helping these guys because our government clearly is not going to do that. So we took an all-natural approach. A lot of soaps out there, your traditional ones, they're full of chemicals, dyes, fragrances, parabens. The FDA has come out quite a few years back and linked breast cancer, some testicular cancer involving parabens. And we don't want our customers to run into those problems. And I would say most people really aren't too keen to how much our skin actually absorbs and the nutrients that are coming through our skin. And we realize every day people are going out there putting those harmful chemicals on their skin, sometimes twice a day. You know, that the extra stinky people out there need that second shower. And if they're just doubling up on that stuff, it's not going to have a good outcome in the long run. So we thought we could introduce something to our customers that would be beneficial compared to what they were using, and then also focus in on something that they actually care about and be able to morph them both together. We've had a lot of people ask if we're 501c. No, we're not. We're a for-profit company. That is our goal, but at the same time, we want to start being able to build a home every single month. That's kind of the end goal for us, to get somebody off the street and give them the chance at a better life.
I love that. You know, my husband and I just were having that conversation the other day about the homeless vets. It's just like, yeah, just like you said, the government really doesn't give a rip about serve our country, put yourself in the line of danger. But when we're done with you, we're going to just throw you to the garbage more or less, because, you know, if you go to the veteran hospitals, they really don't, in my opinion, do enough for our veterans. I think they could do better. But then you see the homeless vets on top of it and the mental illness on some of them, because especially what some of you guys see when you're in combat. I mean, it's not easy to take a life at all. It's not easy to see death at all. And so that can really mess with you, and they're not doing anything about it. And so the fact that I found a company that's willing to step up, and I love it because you're finally, we have to take what our former president Kennedy said, don't ask what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And it's more peril now more than ever before. We've been so used to sitting on our butts, absolutely doing nothing because the government will take care of it. Oh, the government will take care of it. We are the government. That's what the Constitution says.
For the people, by the people.
Yes, we are the government. So I don't know why we keep thinking that there's somebody else going to do it. And so, like, I'm super proud to be partnering with a company like that, that is willing to step up and do something, because I'm about doing something too. You know, I want to be a part of the solution. Yeah. I'm not going to wait for someone else, because truth is, no one's coming to rescue us.
We're going to be waiting a long time.
Long time. And in the process, we might not have a country if I keep waiting. So that is something very honorable that you're doing. How long have you guys been in business for?
The end of 2018, we started. Wow. We actually started out of a kitchen inside of a small apartment. Went into a little bit bigger room, then into a garage. Now we're getting all the manufacturing set up and in place so we can fully scale all the way up.
That is so cool.
But yeah,
I'm not joking. I mean, the soap smells amazing. I mean, I love the ones you sent me. Okay, so my son wanted to smell like the forest. The one you sent us.
There we go.
It smelled like the forest. I don't know what that one's called.
Smelled the woods?
The woods. Yeah. Yeah. Why didn't I think of that? Duh!
Close.
Hello, that's genius. What are we gonna call that? The woods. Okay, no, that one smells amazing. And then you send us one that has like this peppermint one that smells like pepperminty. It smells really good. And then obviously, I'm a big fan of lavender, and that's the one I grabbed right now. It's a great one, especially, you know, you can use this on your kids. I mean, I'm using it on my kids because it's safe and gentle, and you're not putting all that harmful chemicals. And you're right, people don't realize how much chemicals they allow in their body between the laundry soap, between their household cleaners, between especially the women with their makeup and all their personal care items and their hair products, and then their body wash. And so, like I said, I've been an infertility survivor, and I have to think that it probably has a lot to do with the chemicals that we were you know, using in our house. And like you said, parabens have been linked to breast cancer. And so I just want to say, no, I don't want to have that junk in my home. Do you guys ship nationwide?
Yep. Yeah. So we ship all around the country. Our primary focus is our direct auto ship. It goes out. We match those bars of soap 1-to-1. Try to send them overseas. Sometimes it's way too hot over there for our soap, and we got to send it stateside to some troops. But that's our primary focus. So you help out a vet there every month. You're getting sales donated in, and then you're never having to worry about running out of soap. I'm sure most of the men out there have ran into the situation, at least, where we run out of our soap, we start using our shampoo a little bit, you know, might use that for 2-3 days, and then we finally remember, oh crap, I need to stop at Target and get some more. Yeah. So
actually, Lucas, that happened to us, and then he showed up, you know, because he had just ran out of his guy soap, and then they showed up like, perfect, now I don't have to go to Target.
Exactly. Yeah. So we take that stress out of your life. We'll handle your soap for the rest of forever. And the chemical free aspect to it, I think, you know, that alone is not going to create a whole lot of change, but a couple, you know, those little changes throughout your daily habits, as cancer rates and everything else seems to be going up, I think it's one good way to start to pull yourself back away from falling in that direction.
So what I think my audience particularly likes to do, they like to do something, they like to get involved. And so what's really cool about your company is every time you make a purchase, a portion of the sale goes to support military or first responders. And I think that's beautiful. So if you guys want to get involved in helping the greater good, then go to heroes.com/AmberMay, save 10%, get 10% off your purchase. And then you're going to be helping support these homeless veterans, first responders.
You're going to be helping to support a local company, a made in the USA product, a company that's co-owned by a veteran himself. So, I mean, I don't see where there's anything negative to say about the company. Like, why wouldn't you want to buy this soap? Why wouldn't you want to get something that's healthy for your family, that's going to support other people? Like there's no,
it's a 360 win all the way around.
Everybody's winning, and that's what I love about it. I'm glad I got to meet you, because now I am able to like tell people about, hey, you got to get this soap, and then all my viewers and listeners get a discount, which is super cool. But not only that, their money is going to go to help people in need. And I just think there's like everyone wins in the situation, you know, everyone's going to be a winner. And I always like to look for win-win-win situations. So do you guys how fast do you think someone could get something? Like if they went and purchased today from your website, like do you know roughly like the turnaround time?
Yeah. So like it's usually being shipped out the next day.
Packages
that are, if you're getting more than two soaps, you're going to get that USPS priority shipped. Sometimes there's some fluctuation, especially around the holiday season with USPS. But typically it's a 3 days and it's at 2 to 3 days and it's at your door.
Okay, cool. That's awesome.
We try and get it out as soon as possible.
Oh, good. That's great. I think my people are really going to love it. I know I am excited to meet you. What are some of the most popular scents that you guys cover in your hero soap?
So your son's got good taste. The woods is by far our most common. I absolutely love the peppermint cool. The crunched up menthol gives that nice cool breeze feeling that people might not be expecting right away, but it's pretty awesome. Lavender, a huge seller. To our body washes and even our pet washes. Since we've got no chemicals in there, we've got some pet soap. And my dog loves it. I'm sure your guys' dog will too.
Oh, yeah. I think so too. So it's not just bar soap. You can, so like, tell us a little bit about like, is it body wash, pet soap, bar soap? Is that it? Or you have more?
So we have that. And then we've got our, like, some clothes. T-shirts you can get, hats you can get, some different shower holders, so you're not setting your soap down on your bathtub, making it all dirty. But
oh, nice.
Yeah, for the most part, it's the body wash, bar soap, and the pet wash.
Oh, I love it. I'm just excited to meet you. I mean, you've been so cool talking to you the last few days. And then I'm very excited that we got the soap. We started using it right away. So, there's stuff like goat's milk. I mean, that's so good for the skin. Yeah. You know, there's like, I was like looking at the ingredients. I'm like, I don't see anything in here that would be horrible for our body, because I'm big on labels when it's bringing stuff into my home.
Yeah. There's not much in it. We try and keep it as minimal as possible to prevent having to add any of those chemicals in there. So some of those soaps, there might be, you know, maybe three additional things added outside of the goat milk. So it's plain Jane, natural as can be, but absolutely phenomenal. And the lather on it.
I mean, alkaline water. I was like, that's kind of cool. I mean, you don't see that ever. Alkaline water. I think that's pretty cool, because a lot of people are going towards the alkaline water. So I thought that was cool. That's what you use for your soaps.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the program today. I really appreciate it. Yeah, so you guys need to take advantage of this. You can find them on my website at theambermayshow.com. You can always click the link below. I have all my discounts. I have anything I ever talk about. You always need to click the links below and see what I have to offer, because I always post all that stuff. So if you go to heroes.com/AmberMay or use promo code AmberMay, you can save 10% off. So save some money, support a good company. You know, it's better for your body. So ditch that like junk stuff from the grocery store. Get something that's gonna help your body, and also help fund like a Made in America product. Help fund like charities for people that are like serving our community and our nation. And so it's like a win for everybody. So thehero.com/AmberMay, use promo code AmberMay or theambermayshow.com. Thank you, Lucas, so much for coming on the program today. I really appreciate
it. Awesome. Thanks for inviting me on, Amber.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate it. Thank you.
government-induced inflation, taxes, rising interest rates, all of these can have a dramatic effect on our investments. So why not buy some gold and silver? Gold and silver throughout history has been a stabilizer in people's portfolio. Protect your wealth, protect your assets by purchasing gold and silver. The easiest way to do that is contacting Jim, who you've seen on our program, Jim Tewalt, with EPS Wealth Management. That's Edward Paul Sam, EPSWealthManagement.com. There you can go ahead and contact him and say, hey, I would love to get my hands on some gold and silver, especially with the electronic currency that is looming on our horizon. So if they go to a total digital currency, it might be wise to have some tangible assets in your portfolio for trading, because you never know when they might cut off your income stream. So go to EPS, Edward Paul Sam, EPSWealthManagement.com. Ask for Jim Tewalt to make sure you have some gold and silver in your portfolio. Let him know Amber May sent you. So do you like to start your day off with a cup of coffee? What if I told you you could get a cup of coffee that not only helps rejuvenate your mind, get you going in the morning, but it could reduce stress? What would you say? Well, I have just the solution for you. I have the Java Boost right here. It's delicious. It's the most creamy, delicious vanilla coffee that is infused with antioxidants from muscadine, ginger, and turmeric. It eliminates cravings, it helps support healthy blood chemistry, and it promotes healthy weight loss. When have you ever heard of a coffee that helps promote healthy weight loss? So if you want a coffee that's delicious, creamy, vanilla, helps reduce stress and fatigue, and helps promote healthy weight loss, then you want to grab Java Boost for yourself. And the easiest way to do that is going to cupahealth.com. That's cupahealth.com. Use promo code AmberMay at checkout.